Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 33 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the snow miser to my heat miser. Brian, how are we doing tonight?
We are doing excellent. We are doing amazing. It is, it's my most favorite time of the year. It's the, you know, it's time when we all just realize how important this time of year is. We realize how important our friends are, our families, our strangers, you know, people we pass by on a daily basis while walking through our supermarket that's in the middle of being demolished and reconstructed during the busiest time of the year. I mean, it's just a time for everybody to open up their hearts and become one.
And it's our last show before Christmas, so Merry Christmas out there to all of you that celebrate. I believe you wanted to play a little holiday music to get things started today, didn't you, Brian?
It's, you know, it's an entire genre of music that you really only have a couple weeks to appreciate, and I believe you may have something queued up. It's frankly, it's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, let's see what you got set here.
Second thought.
Yes?
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
away. Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
this was your choice, huh?
You drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
Father will
Isn't this, I don't know, tad
so
bit,
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe
this was the one you picked, really, out of everything?
Well, my theory about this was that it captures a moment in time, a time of innocence between a man and a woman who are enjoying each other's company. And, you know, the weather outside is interfering with her plans. And, you know, what she thought her night was going to be is now because of thanks to Mother Nature. I think we found some love, maybe a love connection, as Chuck Woolery would say. It's just it harkens back to a more innocent time. And it makes me feel special.
So you don't think it's a tad bit stalkerish?
No. What do you mean?
I mean, especially with the whole Bill Cosby thing, putting stuff in people's drinks and everything else. I'm just saying, perhaps, you know, Jingle Bells might have been a better alternative.
No. I mean, the favorite part I have is the line where she says, "I ought to say no, sir," and he replies, "Mind if I move in closer?" Like it's. It shows, you know, opposites attracting. You know, she's sitting there. She's not saying no. She's saying I ought to say no. I mean, it's. I really think that you're perverting it into something that's just it's not meant to be. I mean, this is pure like snow that has just fallen onto a meadow in a faraway land. It's just a beautiful thing.
So
like when she says my sister will be suspicious, and he says, "Gosh, your lips look delicious." I mean, doesn't that remind you of when you were in third grade and you wrote down on a little piece of paper, "Do you like me? Check one, yes, no," and you passed it to a girl across the room, and your heart was a little flutter.
I feel like you're coming across the little no doesn't mean no. That's the vibe I'm getting from you right now, and it's a little frightening.
No, oh my gosh, I absolutely respect no means no. I think it's exactly you know, in today's consent culture, you know, we need to be educating the, you know, the males of this society that a woman has a right to make 100% decisions about her body, and men need to respect that and not try to overpower women or try to coerce them into doing something they don't want to do. Frankly, Ron, I'm a little offended. I think that's something that you and I for the past 33 episodes of this podcast have really spoken out about, you know, how we need to bring these types of you know, atrocious behavior to the surface, expose them. I'm a little hurt and offended that you would have put me into that into the category of men that are not woke to the needs of society.
I mean, all I'm saying is, can you perhaps listen to the song and see how it comes across as a tad bit date rapey?
Just pick another part of the song. Don't start at the beginning. But if you just, I mean, just pick a different area in the song, and I'll be open minded to it. I practice open mindedness.
I don't have another part of the song at the moment. I don't know just where it play. Went. Let me see if I can find a section here again.
If you want me to, I could just start singing.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't.
Oh, baby,
stay.
Don't hold out, baby. Oh, it's cold outside.
See, he's like, baby, don't hold out. Like, that's it just feels wrong.
You know, some say potato, some say potato. I'm not sure this is something you and I can agree upon. And you know what? And in light of to the political climate that we live in, I respect the fact that we disagree on this one issue.
And
we don't
I respect,
have to agree.
I respect your creepiness on this issue.
Wow, that hurts, Ron. I'm going to do research on the history of this song for next week's episode, because I think you've completely missed the ball on the intent of this song, and I'm pretty shocked.
All right. Well,
I'm having a hard time getting my words out. I'm pretty shocked that you would be so far away from the true meaning of holidays and Christmas.
Well, I'm willing to wait a week for you to put together your argument and let me know what you think. Speaking of drinks, we have our drink of the week this week. Pretty holiday themed choice. It was basically spiked eggnog. Or regular eggnog, and thankfully all of our listeners are as big of alcoholics as we are. Of course, the spiked eggnog one. Brian, what did you spike your eggnog tonight with?
Bourbon?
Any particular brand?
Hold on, I'm going to go find out while you tell me what kind you had.
All right, well, I went with Maker's Mark, of course. That's my favorite when I'm doing my mixing, so thankfully there was just a little bit left in the bottle. Just threw the rest of the bottle in here, mixed it up. I kind of mailed it in. I did not make homemade eggnog as I had hoped. Did you make your eggnog from scratch, Brian?
No. Are you insane? No. I bought it at the supermarket, and I put Bullet Bourbon, Frontier Whiskey, 45 proof.
All right.
Oh, no. Excuse me. 45% alcohol, 90 proof. And did you make your eggnog from scratch?
I did not. I slacked a bit this week.
It's not slacking. I'm going to say this to you. If you look at the instructions on how to make your own eggnog, they do require raw egg yolk.
It's a big pain in the ass. There's no question.
If there's one thing we've learned, or let me take for in terms of my punishments for drinks of the week, there's one thing I've learned is that if you're going to put a piece of raw egg in your drink, you're not going to like it. So it's better to buy the pre-prepared version of it. So this way you only see the finished product.
I understand. And how is that eggnog, sir?
It is delicious.
I got to agree with you.
A fine choice for drink of the week. And I want to thank our listeners by a percentage of 89 to 11 coming out strong on the spiked eggnog. And if I did a quick search on the Ron and Brian podcast official Facebook page, I can see that only one moron said that we should be drinking non-alcoholic eggnog. Ron, do you care to justify your vote?
I enjoy being contrary at times. And I saw you had voted for it, so I felt the need to vote against you. Had to balance it out.
Sometimes, sir, you make me nervous.
So next week for Drink of the Week, seeing as how it's going to be our last episode of the year, right before New Year's Eve, maybe we could have a couple of champagne-based cocktails go up against each other.
And I'm sure we have some listeners that would jump at the opportunity to come up with some extravagantly complex champagne-based drinks. Listeners, we throw it out to you. It is, when you hear this, it will be Tuesday morning at the earliest. And we will need a drink of the week, what do you say, by Thursday?
Yeah, so hop on the Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, hit us up. and let us know a couple of suggestions so we can get the poll up and figure out what we're going to be drinking next week. Also next week, obviously, will be our big championship match in Racist of the Year. So that means we got to find out who won this week.
This week in
Racism.
All right, and looking at the left side of the bracket, we had our champion from the Barbecue Becky region, Susan Westwood, going up against the champion of the Ted Nugent region, Jimmy Taylor. No two ways around it. Jimmy Taylor cleaned the floor with Susan Westwood winning 86% to 14%. Wasn't even a challenge. Jimmy was never in jeopardy of losing this week. Solid performance. He seems to get stronger each and every week. Brian, he was your pick to win this all. You have to be happy right now.
I feel that I genuinely, I don't know that I'm happy per se. I mean, I don't think anybody likes racism. I don't think that, you know, any kind of act of one human being hating on another based on some preconceived notion based on their skin or their nationality, I don't think you can support that and with a smile on your face. But I can say, Jimmy Taylor, you know, when you're looking at all the candidates that we had this year, the man was strong. Rolling into the Sweet 16 round, Jimmy Taylor scores by first round with a win of 6-2. Then he went with the shutout over Anne-Marie Messiano, 6-0. And then in the semifinal round, defeats Susan Westwood, 6-1, launching him into the finals. I'll say this, the man looks strong.
He does. I mean, he's going to be tough to defeat going up against the champion from the right side of the bracket. We had Nathan Larson, our winner of the David Duke region, going up against Dale Robertson, coming out of the Proud Boys region. Dale Robertson had not had a vote cast against him in the first couple of rounds, but was actually behind for most of the week, managed to rally like champions do, edging Nathan Larson by a single vote. He will be going into the finals matching up with Jimmy Taylor. Brian, were you shocked to see Nathan get knocked out before the championship match?
I believe what we saw here was the listeners looking for racist as opposed to just vile hatred. Nathan Larson, strong candidate, hates everyone, vile opinions about sexuality, about humans, about just basically about everything. Almost nothing to like about him. However, there was always the nagging question, much like Patrick Ewing had weak knees, always the thought about Nathan Larson was, how bad of a racist is he by comparison to some of the other candidates? He came on strong with an 8-0 win in the first round. Then he defeated the Hoover City Schools by a score of 5-2. But when he went up against Dale Robertson, I think the public sat there and said, where is the sheer racism? And I don't think anybody's going to sit there and say that Dale Robertson is not one of the, you know, he's the filet mignon of racism this year. I mean, you don't even need to put butter on this guy. He can be cut with a spoon. Dale Robertson in the championship round against Jimmy Taylor, too close to call from me.
I mean, and let's also factor in, Dale Robertson is Canadian. Typically, you expect all Canadians to be nice, so I think you need an even higher level of hatred in your heart to overcome being Canadian, to be Canadian and racist.
I think that what we've got here is the fine people at Baltica who are sponsoring our Ron and Brian podcast 2018 Racist of the Year tournament. I think what you've got here potentially, and I do not want to blaspheme our sponsors, the nice people who are putting money in our pockets for mentioning their products, Baltica, for when you want to sit there and disrupt the American people, grab a Baltica 9, a fine Russian lager. I think what you got here, you may have some meddling. I think that that this was an attempt to get Canada versus the United States. This may be an attempt by Mother Russia. All hail Vladimir Putin. An attempt by Mother Russia to get Canada versus the United States, throw more global discord and disarray so that Russia can once again take on. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that just as Dale Robertson goes up against Jimmy Taylor, that the Russian army is massing tanks on the Ukrainian border. I believe this is a classic case of a distraction, a bait and switch.
A little false flag activity.
There we go. I knew eventually you were going to save me as I was just flailing like a fish out of water.
Well, let's take a look at the tail of the tape for a championship match. We have Jimmy Taylor, 4 wins during the regular season. He was retired after his 4th win, given an automatic number 1 seed. Dale Robertson, 3 wins. Who stopped Dale Robertson from getting that 4th win? Jimmy Taylor. That's right. In week 12, they matched up against each other. Jimmy Taylor won pretty handily. So this is an opportunity for Dale to really get his revenge. What I'd like to do, just so that we can keep everything fresh in people's memory, is go back, play the audio from each of our competitors so you can get a fresh remembrance of how hateful they are. Let's start out with Dale Robertson, obviously harassing an Indian family in a parking lot in Walmart.
What kind of example you are setting for your children? What kind of example you...
Hi!
No, what kind of example you are setting for your children?
Get out of the way! Get out of the way! You put your fucking hands on me, I will break your leg.
Stop it!
You're the one trying to harass me, I'm driving away!
I'm trying to harass you?
Dude, I'm driving away!
You want me to go to my country?
Yes!
I'm a Canadian citizen.
Show me, prove it. I don't believe you. You don't talk like a Canadian.
You don't like...
I don't, I'm racist as fuck.
Upi,
I don't like you. I don't like her. I would kill your children first.
Really?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I would.
Let's take this move. Then you. Stop it.
Don't ever attack me again!
I will do it!
You attacked us!
I am going to do it now!
All right, you have Dale. Pretty solid performance there. But again, going up a very going up against very tough competition. Jimmy Taylor, U.S. pastor, visiting Uganda to help out. This was audio from the lobby of his hotel when he was trying to get back in his hotel room.
Come here! You hate Jesus? You hate yourself? You hate Jesus? You hate yourself? You hate me? You disgrace Jesus? Huh? Talk.
Francis, watch out, Piggy.
Talk. Talk. Come on, bitch. Come on, whore. You open my fucking room, I'll fucking kill you again. Sir. Sir. He has disgraced Jesus. He has disgraced Jesus. He has disgraced Jesus. No,
Francis, umpige, toka, toka mbele yake.
No, Francis, I'm not. Toka. I am not going to tolerate no more. Jesus is not going to tolerate. Yeah, feel me. Fuck Uganda. I've come to love Uganda. I've come to help Uganda. But Uganda hates Jesus through this son of a bitch. You understand me, brother? You understand me? Yes, sir, I know you do. No, no, no. You obey what I say. I don't obey you. You understand? Open my fucking room now. You understand, bitch? Nigger, bitch? Look at me. Look at Christ, who died for you. Look at me. Look at Christ who died for you.
Wait,
at Christ.
Stop fighting.
No.
Excuse.
No excuse.
Excuse.
Jesus is tired.
Yes.
Jesus is tired of your goddamn disobedience.
Yes, but come
feel
down.
Me.
Come
Jesus
down.
Is tired of your obedience, disobedience.
Come down.
He's tired. No, you fucking... Come up. I don't calm down.
Yes.
You come up to the Lord Jesus Christ. You fuckers. Why? Why have you hated Jesus?
Yes.
Why have you hated your own souls? You know it. You know it. But you refuse to repent and be saved. Motherfuckers. 3/4 of you are going to fucking die in 3 days. Give me my goddamn card to my room. This motherfucker better work. You understand me? Hey, bitch. Look at me, bitch. Yeah, you're afraid. You goddamn ought to be afraid, bitch. Nigger, bitch. You're not a human.
Respect your
kid. No, you don't.
Disrespect.
No, you don't.
You give me your kid
card. No.
To make you a kid
card. No.
Then you come fight me?
Yes, I'll fucking knock your fucking life out. Because Jesus is tired of son of a bitches like you. You fucking hate yourself. You hate Uganda. You hate the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming upon you with sword and fire. You fucking repent or you fucking die. This motherfucker better work. This motherfucker better work. Hey, you better get all this, all right? In the name of Jesus Christ, Uganda has come under our condemnation because they have hated themselves, they have hated their fellow man, they have hated the Lord Jesus Christ. You fucking record that, bitch.
And just like the Lord, Jimmy Taylor is coming with a sword and fire against Dale Robertson. Listening to that clip again just really reminds me why everyone hated Jimmy Taylor and why he's in the finals. Heavy favorite, odds-on favorite in Vegas right now, going off at 1-5 for Jimmy to win this matchup with Dale Robertson. After listening to those two clips, Brian, I think you may have some money in the bank here. You picked Jimmy to take it all. Again, listening to that audio, an extremely hateful individual.
Hateful, but I think what you are seeing, at least with Nathan Larson going down, is that it is hate enough to take you to the championship, or do you need to be a flat-out racist? In my opinion, I think Dale Robertson is coming with vile racism. Jimmy Taylor, I think he's coming with more anger and less overt racism. It's going to be interesting as to what the public is identifying with, what it's feeling. You know, I want to thank you for replaying those two audio clips in their entirety. Right now, I don't even know who to vote for.
Well, the poll will be up on our Facebook page shortly to cast your votes. And, you know, we're going to try and turn all the negatives this year from This Week in Racism into a positive, as we at the Ron and Brian podcast are proud to announce that for this final matchup, for every vote cast, we will donate $5 to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Brian, I understand you have another exciting announcement about this as well.
The fine people at Baltica, we reached out to them and said, listen, you guys have been great. You know, absolutely. I think that we need to lock up Hillary and at the same time ratchet up the anger in America. We are on board. Baltica, not only provides just a great product, but it has employed just countless thousands of individuals in Mother Russia. It's the second largest brewing company in Europe. It's the leader in the Russian beer market, over a 38% market share. We said, Baltica, listen, this is what we're going to do for our racist of the year. We are going to donate $5 for every vote on our Facebook page. And Vladimir Shmutin, the chairman of Baltica, came back to us and said, you know what? If you're going to put $5 in, we're going to put 5 American non-counterfeit dollars to match it. Every vote in the Baltica Presents the Ron and Brian Podcast 2018 Racist of the Year Tournament, for every vote, $10 is going to be donated to a charity. Ron, what is that charity?
So again, that charity is the Southern Poverty Law Center. So this is not a joke, folks. every vote that we see in the final matchup between Jimmy Taylor and Dale Robertson will result in $10 being donated to the Southern Poverty Law Center that obviously works to fight racism. It does some great work, and we'll be proud to support them, as should you with your votes in the tournament.
And not only that, but as an extra fuck you to our racist of the year, the donation is going to be made in the name of the winner of the Baltica Presents the Ron and Brian Podcast's 2018 Racist of the Year Tournament. So if Jimmy Taylor wins the Racist of the Year Tournament here, Jimmy Taylor will be making that donation in his name, and he will be notified somehow if we can get an address for him. Not sure how that's going to work out.
Should Dale Robertson pull off the upset, the donation will be made in his name. We'll have to send an airmail to Canada, but we will definitely try and get the word out to our champion what we're doing in their name. So again, share it with your friends. Every vote, $10 towards Southern Poverty Law Center. All right, next up, we got Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, my beef of the week this week, grilled cheese sandwiches. And I'm going to tell you why. I see a questioning look on your face saying, what the hell? What? How could you have a beef against a grilled cheese sandwich? Because you know what it is? I go out to restaurants. I follow restaurants on Facebook. And I feel that the whole grilled cheese thing is completely off the rails. I think we need to have some sort of, if you will, a Geneva Convention of grilled cheese, because I think we need to determine, Brian, at what point does it cease to be a grilled cheese sandwich, and does it just become a sandwich that happens to have extra cheese on it? Let me give you a few examples, Brian. So I know a place you can get a grilled cheese sandwich. They'll put some tomato, they'll put some jalapeno on it. That to me seems okay. You can still call it a grilled cheese sandwich. They will also, if you ask, put a slice of pork roll on there. Not a lot of pork roll, so it becomes a breakfast sandwich. But again, just enough on there. I think you're okay. But we've got one restaurant that does a grilled sloppy Joe cheese, and then another one that does a pepperoni cheesesteak grilled cheese. Not grilled cheese sandwiches, in my opinion. Brian, will you argue me on this?
I will say this to you. A grilled cheese is American cheese,
okay,
or cheddar cheese.
Good.
You are allowed to put tomatoes. You are allowed to put bacon.
Okay. Bacon's a good addition as well.
You are allowed to coat the outside of the bread in butter or whatever your margarine or butter substitute is, or you may serve it dry. That is where a grilled cheese begins and ends in my book. All right.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same page here. Brian, what's your beef this week?
Fantasy football.
Ooh, well, seeing as how I'm currently getting knocked out of the playoffs, I'm with you there.
Will you allow me to talk about fantasy football?
I'm,
or are you just going to ride my thunder?
I'm so sorry.
All right. My problem with fantasy football is that it has allowed the fan base to feel that they are more privileged, more empowered than people watching other grown men do the thing that they wish they did. So you've got guys who were not good enough to play football suddenly feeling like they're involved in the game. And, you know, I was on the interwebs earlier this week, and I was just watching some of the things people were saying about their, fantasy football, just watching grown men embarrass themselves. Here's one that I just pulled off out of random. I hope there's a special place in hell for those people that miss the playoffs in their fantasy football league, but still grab the best available players off the waiver wire. I mean, what type of embarrassing garbage nonsense is that from a man who doesn't play football?
And even worse, he didn't play the guy he got off the waiver wire. He let him sit on the bench and collect 30 points that I could have used. Sorry.
Well, that's my beef for the week.
For all of us that play fantasy football,
no offense, but burn in hell.
All right, very good. Little promo for next week. As we mentioned, it's going to be our year end. So year end is a year of reflection, and it's also a time to look forward.
Ron and Brian predictions.
So that's right. We will be reviewing our 2018 predictions. For those of you going back that may have been listening to our bootleg shows in the beginning of the year, we had some predictions, and we'll be making more predictions for the coming year. So make sure you tune in next week for that. Brian, are you excited for predictions?
I will say this. First, I've started with my list of 2019 predictions.
Okay.
I think that there are certain things that I think I feel like I'm going to go out on a limb for. I think certain things are just going to just locks. You know, it's like playing fantasy football. Like I know they're good.
All right.
What I think is going to be interesting, and I don't know if you've taken a look, I certainly have not, is going back and looking at our 2018 predictions. And see how we did. How did we fare? What was your prediction rate? What was mine? How close did I get? I think that's going to be interesting.
I mean, I don't remember all of them, but I think I nailed a few. So, like I said, it'll be exciting. So, make sure you tune in next week. We also have some video here now. Not quite a prediction, but it definitely was hitting the became viral here in Philly because this took place in a KFC in North Philadelphia. This is a video from an Instagram user at Bobby_Holiday trying to play a prank on a cashier at the KFC when it kind of went sideways on him.
Yeah, how you doing? My boyfriend was here earlier. He said that you wrote your phone number on his receipt, and I'm just here to check you and say, like, control your hormones or whatever's going on. I know he fine. His name Antoine. You work with her?
Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
I don't care about you nor Antoine. When you walk in here, say good morning like we said to you.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Yeah. I don't care about no Antoine. I don't care none of that. You
I say good morning.
No, I'm asking. You want to order food?
Yeah, I am. Can all I right. finish with that all? I
no,
want to check
I don't care about none of that. You're not checkmating nothing here.
Danita.
I'm checking all. I'm checking lists and everything.
Danita, it's Christmas.
And you at ho, ho, ho. Yes, baby. Right back at you. You want some chicken?
Oh, my God. All of y'all coming?
Yeah. Welcome to our store. You ain't about to come in and checkmate nothing about
oh, my God. I thought I was in the suburbs. I thought this North Philly?
You got in Chester.
Northwest Chester.
Okay. So, for some reason, that was considered a prank. Not quite sure what was supposed to be funny about it, but clearly the guy got a little bit more than he intended. Let's break this down a little bit, little by little, if you will.
Yeah.
So, first of all, this is a KFC / Taco Bell, which, again, I don't quite know why these exist, why you have to have these combination ones. Do you necessarily need chicken and tacos? I think the worst one is in my hometown, where there's a combination Taco Bell Long John Silver's, which that is just heinous to me.
Have you not been to the establishment in New York's Penn Station?
I have not, no.
Taco Bell, KFC, Long John Silver, Nathan's.
That actually doesn't sound like a bad combination.
Oh, but the smell when you walk in there is just disgusting.
Yeah, how you doing? All right. My boyfriend was here earlier. He said that you wrote your phone number on his receipt, and I'm just here to check you and say, like, control your hormones or whatever's going on. I know he fine. His name Antoine.
So again, not quite sure why that's exactly funny, but yeah, very, very interesting part of it. So it goes sideways here when he starts paying attention to the manager, Danita.
Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
hold on a second. We went a little too far there.
So whatever's going on, I know he fine. His name Antoine. You work with her?
Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, Brian. Anytime someone has said, let me explain something to you, I have never been happy with whatever the explanation was following that.
Yeah. When someone says something like that to me, I know I'm about to get schooled.
Like, it's like, let me explain something. Especially if you are in a place of business where technically the servers are supposed to be nice to you and they're about to read you the riot act. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about you, nor Antoine. When you walk in here, say good morning like we said to you.
Oh, okay.
So, a valid point. I mean, you walk in, they're kind enough to say good morning to you. Say good morning back.
Said to you.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Yeah. I don't care about no Antoine. I don't care none of that.
You want? I said good morning.
No, I'm asking. You want to order food?
Yeah, I am. Can all I finish with it all? I want to check.
So, and Danita, if you watch the video, Danita's seen some shit in her time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
And she doesn't care anymore. Like, she is confident. It's one of two things. Either she's confident enough to know that she's not getting fired because she's holding that damn place together, or she doesn't care, or it's a combination of both. But she is checking and checking lists. Listers.
I think, because I watched the video, I believe that you are looking at a woman who has witnessed enough Instagram pranks that she's had enough of it. She can spot it out from a mile away. She knows that this is about to become a problem, and she's going to stop it before it goes anywhere.
She is shutting that shit down.
Like
not
a clown.
Nothing here.
Danita.
I'm checking lists and everything.
Danita's Christmas.
And you had ho, ho, ho.
All right, so that's one of the best responses I think I've seen in one of these videos, where she's just like, hey, you know what? Fuck you. Ho, yes. Ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. That, yeah, and what's great about it is that it's fresh on the spot. Like, that's not a canned line that she had written down.
She was just like, I'm coming back at you. Hold on a second.
Danita's Christmas.
And you had ho, ho, ho.
Well, there is someone who needs a podcast.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I would listen to Danita's podcast. I'd listen to that like crazy.
Yes, baby. Right back at you. You want some chicken?
Oh, my God. All of y'all coming?
Yeah. Welcome to our store. You ain't about to come in and checkmate nothing about
me. Oh, my God.
So what you're missing in this video is initially it's just the cashier and the manager, but other employees have slowly started to come up towards the front of the store and now are clearly outnumbering this guy at this point where he's realizing he's pretty much fucked.
I thought I was in the suburbs. I thought this North Philly?
Yeah, and Chester.
Northwest Chester.
I mean, you've got employees taking their drive-through headsets off, putting them down. Like, they were ready to go across that counter at him. It was a beautiful show of solidarity amongst women.
He walked into that place with the idea that he was going to make a funny video, that he was going to take this poor, unsuspecting woman that's working at a fast food restaurant, and he was going to have fun at her expense with this wacky story about how she was hitting on his man. And within, I would say, what is it? You know, I know we've paused it a few times. You're looking at probably about a minute, minute and a half. All of the staff have left their workstations. And if anybody who has worked at fast food places, you never leave your workstation. It's an act of God for you to walk away from the fryer. But all of the women sitting in the back have now walked to the front and are preparing for a global ass kicking on this guy. And you can watch him slowly start to backpedal his way from we have a problem to, oh, we don't have a problem. This is all good.
You, sir, you have a problem. None of us have a problem at the moment. So, but I mean, basically, Danita was giving this guy like three options. It was like, you can order some chicken, you can get the fuck out, or you can get your ass beat. You know, either way, he was going to get a two-piece and a biscuit if he stayed there. He was going to either eat it or he was going to get it beat into him.
Yes.
Well, again, check out, if you want to, the Instagram page. It is at Bobby_Holiday. We will share that on our Instagram page as well to make it that much easier for you, because that's how nice we are.
Yeah, let's do it.
Brian, thoughts on sex with robots? Just throwing it out there.
Anti.
Really?
But if it becomes accepted by society as a whole, I would be on board.
All right. Well, did you realize that there were conferences that were supposed to be taking place regarding sex with robots?
No.
So there were two there in Montana this month. There were supposed to be the International Conference on Advances in Computer Entertainment, which was being held alongside the International Congress on Love and Sex with Robots. Both events were canceled due to the fact that the ACE conference had scheduled Steve Bannon to be the keynote speaker. Could there have been a more random keynote speaker for them to have gotten?
Steve Bannon, the Breitbart Trump strategist?
Exactly. Former editor of Breitbart News, also served as chief strategist from January to August last year. Been due to deliver the keynote address. ACE's organizers blamed what they call a, quote, anti-free speech fascist-style mob and claimed that the behavior of people opposed Mr. Bannon's presence was very similar to campaigns of book burning in Nazi Germany.
What on earth could Steve Bannon bring to the table in that type of forum?
I mean, I can only imagine perhaps Steve Bannon has a real doll or some other type of automated sex machine, because I do find it rather hard to believe that a living human person would have sex with Steve Bannon.
Oh, I would say that Steve Bannon, and I'm not going to say he does that because I've never met the man.
Allegedly.
I'm not going to say he allegedly is done.
All right.
What I will say is that he has the appearance of a man that goes to Thailand twice a year on vacation to purchase sexual favors from third world indigent peoples.
Allegedly.
No. He has a body type of it.
Body type.
I'm not saying that he is the kind of person that would do that. What I'm saying is, if you look at him, you know, the disarray in just general cleanliness and appearance, perceived lack of hygiene below the neck and above the neck, if you're really going to take a close up of him. I mean, he looks like the kind of guy who flies to the island of Sumatra not to get coffee, but to have little kids play with his beans. I mean, it's disgusting, and maybe that's what he was there to talk about.
I don't know. He does look like a man that is always sweaty, regardless of what the weather might be.
Always sweaty.
So there has been no update on the Advances in Computer Entertainment Conference, but for those of you upset that you won't have had the opportunity to attend the Congress on Love and Sex with Robots, that has been postponed until January 2020, when it'll be held in Las Vegas at the same time as a pornography convention. So
that at least makes more sense.
It's a nice little bit of synergy there. And I assume they get Ron Jeremy to do the keynote versus Steve Bannon. That way you're still getting kind of the overweight, middle-aged, creepy guy, but you're not getting the politics along with it.
You don't think that Steve Bannon is trying to position himself as the next Ron Jeremy?
As the
conservative Ron Jeremy.
I mean, I would assume there's a market there. We'll have to keep an eye on it.
I believe the 70s created a market for Ron Jeremy. I believe that now he exists in a nostalgia format whatsoever. I don't believe there's anybody that genuinely wants to watch that man put work in.
That's true. Also, something we've been keeping an eye on, we've had the homeless GoFundMe scandal that's been going on here in Philadelphia. Some updates this week. Johnny Bobbitt Jr., the homeless veteran that had been arrested due to the alleged GoFundMe scam, he was released from Burlington County Jail. This past week, he was ordered by Superior Court Judge Mark Tarantino to stay off drugs. He must attend Narcotics Anonymous meetings and avoid contact with the other two defendants in the claim and any victims. He also needs to provide proof that he has somewhere to live in Philadelphia. In regards to the couple that was charged as well, that was Mark D'Amico, was the boyfriend. His girlfriend, Caitlin McClure, apparently they are now on the outs. He has been served with a criminal trespass complaint because he's refused to move out of a house he shared with his former girlfriend. He was asked to leave by her grandmother, the owner of the property. They're still going back and forth on that. So he is saying that she needs to go through proper eviction process because he had a lease there. He also may be sent to jail for as long as 30 days due to traffic tickets he received in Burlington County. So he was in court this week trying to fight that. So just a lot of negative things happening around that entire trio.
I believe that the kind of person that decides that they are going to go online and tell a lie about how you've got these two people who were helped by a homeless man with his final dollars, and they're going to create a GoFundMe, and it's all a lie. I believe the kind of people that do that, eventually it's going to rise to the surface what lousy people and lousy decision-making skills that they have. And I think you're seeing it now.
So the GoFundMe had raised over $400,000. Johnny Bobbitt's statement is that he received about $75,000 of that money, which he spent primarily on drugs. The other $325,000 he claimed that D'Amico and McClure spent on vacations, on their house, on clothing, jewelry, BMW, but they are claiming that the entire $400,000 went to Johnny Bobbitt and he wasted it all. So their next court appearance will be in early February. We will continue to follow this as this moves forward.
So they're still claiming that they didn't keep any money?
D'Amico and McClure are still stating that they are admitting to the fact that it was a fraud. Because obviously they've got the text messages from McClure to her girlfriend stating as such. But their statement right now is that they are, you know, holding firm and claiming that Johnny Bobbitt got all the money and wasted it. Now that the boyfriend and girlfriend have broken up, it'll be interesting to see if their story sticks or if one of them flips on the other. We'll see more in the coming months on that.
All righty.
Also coming out today was a report regarding the Russian-linked Internet Research Agency in their alleged meddling in the American elections due to social media posts. One of the more interesting things that is being stated is apparently that they may have tried to blackmail potential American recruits by setting up a fake anti-masturbation hotline, which they reportedly advertised the hotline on a fake Christian Facebook page, encouraging readers to reach out if they were struggling with the addiction to masturbation. The report included three examples of IRA posts. One was posted to the fake pro-LGBT Facebook page, LGBT United, just stating that if there was any gay, lesbian, transgender teenagers needing to talk, they were there for them. And then also two posted to the faux religious group, Army of Jesus, which was a straightforward offer to support guilty masturbators, apparently. I do love the two ads that were posted to Army of Jesus. One was a picture of Jesus comforting a young boy and saying, "Struggling with the addiction to masturbation? Reach out to me and we will beat it together."
Oh, no.
And then the other one, "You can't hold hands with God when you are masturbating."
Technically, that's correct. No, I mean, nobody shakes hands with God with their left hand. I mean, if God's going to show up and you're shaking his hand, you're coming in with the right hand.
So I guess their game plan was if people were admitting to being masturbators or being lesbian, gay, or transsexual, that perhaps they could use that as blackmail to turn them to do whatever it is they want. There was a huge amount of posts from this IRA It includes 10.4 million tweets from almost 3,900 accounts, 1,100 YouTube videos across 17 channels, 116,000 Instagram posts from 133 different accounts, and 61,500 Facebook posts from 61 pages. And it really targeted across the board. It targeted Black Americans, focused on Black Lives Matter in areas, focused on police brutality. But, you know, again, I think it just goes to show you the importance of continuing to investigate the Russian influence on the election, the Russian influence on all of our social media channels, just to see, you know, where this involvement is happening and how we can cut this down. And I guess the main takeaway is, if you don't know who your Facebook group is or Twitter is, you know, you don't necessarily need to follow social media blindly.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not.
I mean, unless it's Ron and Brian, you can follow us blindly. We'll be okay with that.
Well, I think it's important. I think we have established our bona fides. I think we have said to the public and made it quite obvious that we're looking to lead people down, you know, a path of righteousness, of wokeness, of cleaner living, of ridding the brain of evil thoughts, you know, so that when Jesus does appear, you can shake hands with him. And it's going to be okay.
Speaking of the Russian investigation, there was kind of an interesting graphic that was on CNN this past weekend, which basically identified all of the Trump entities which are currently under investigation. Would you like a quick rundown of all of them, Brian?
Please.
So as of today, the half dozen entities under investigation include the Trump Foundation, the Trump Organization, the Trump Presidential Campaign, the Trump Transition Team, the Trump Inaugural Committee, and the Trump Administration itself. In addition, President George W. Bush Chief Ethics Attorney Richard Painter was on CNN. He was urging Trump and his legal counsel to stop pretending these investigations are baseless and suggested that he may want to start negotiating some sort of plea deal. Quote, "The president has serious exposure to criminal liability on several fronts," Painter said. "This could very well send him to prison for a very long time if he does not work this out." I don't see Trump ever agreeing to any sort of plea deal, though.
No, not whatsoever. I mean, he does not. Two things. A, I think it would require his outer circle to approach him and acknowledge that the gig is up, that, you know, he's facing some real time and there's no way to avoid it. I think that's the only way that he may plea, with the spin of that the system is rigged against him and it was this, or accept that he was going to be facing a rigged jury and a rigged court case, and it was just better to get it over with and move forward and pay whatever fine he's going to have. I think that's the only way he might be able to spend it.
Possibly. So, again, you know, and these, you know, those six organizations, those are just from the investigations that we know about. It's very possible there are a number of other investigations that are going on that we are unaware of. And again, those are just federal investigations. It doesn't necessarily count the individual state investigations that are going on into a number of the Trump business dealings as well. I know the Justice Department today took the unusual step of interfering in an appeal process. You know, Trump is trying to stop the lawsuit against him for the emoluments clause, I think 10 state attorney generals filed and received approval to move forward on. The Justice Department is now trying to squash that so that, you know, President Trump will not have to release any of his financial information or any of his financial dealings of his organizations. So we will see, you know, what happens to that in the coming weeks also. And then on a sad note this week, you know, obviously, you know, immigration, migrants have been big in the news ever since the midterms, even though Trump, you know, miraculously stopped worrying about the caravan after the midterm elections. You know, there are still, immigrants, migrants seeking asylum in the U.S. We are still separating families. And we had a 7-year-old Guatemalan girl that died while in American custody. Her parents are claiming, she died apparently of hydration and mistreatment. Her parents are claiming, you know, they had water for their trip. Their daughter was fine before they were taken into American custody. Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen basically said it's the parents' fault. It's any family's fault for bringing their children into the States. Brian, your thoughts on this?
I'm conflicted.
Okay.
I'm very conflicted because under no circumstances do I believe that we should be in the business of creating, for lack of a better word, internment camps for immigrant children who are being separated from their parents. 60 Minutes had a very interesting story this past week about the conditions at some of these camps. And now I think about it, it may have been Channel 7 News in the morning and not 60 Minutes.
Okay.
Not sure.
But some news outlet out there.
Yes. Where it basically said this, there are some kids who are with who have been separated from their parents for 3-4 months, not seeing their family. They're surrounded by barbed wire fencing on military bases, and there's no system in place that has been reviewed by independent sources that A, these children are being taken care of, that they're being provided what they need. There's no system for education. And at the same time, according to the American law, these children have yet to, we don't know that they belong here. Do we just sit there and say, hey, you're under 18 and you're at the border, so therefore come on in with your family? I don't have an answer. I genuinely don't know. I just, the whole situation sucks, and I don't think anybody is trying to work on something that can make it better. I think it just, these kids are being used as pawns by Democrats and Republicans who are trying to make the other side look bad, and the kids are suffering. Here is a case where, it was inevitable. Eventually, somebody's going to die, and my heart goes out to the family of this girl.
But don't you think there's some responsibility on the part of the government where, we have a process for asylum when people reach our border? If you are, in essence, treating them as criminals versus treating them as people seeking asylum, if you are separating families from children, is there not an expectation of care once they are in
Yes.
our custody?
Absolutely. That's what I meant when I said, the Trump administration will not allow independent agencies to go into these camps and for a real monitoring. When George Bush and his administration created Guantanamo Bay detention center for the Al-Qaeda terrorists, they fought tooth and nail to keep outside agencies from taking a look. They didn't want the Red Cross seeing what we were doing to these guys. And we realize now because half these guys were being tortured. But you think of a little kid who has not made any bad decisions in life. Their parents made the decision for them to bring them to America. They're being taken away by whomever they know. They're being held in this land that they're not familiar with and being treated like criminals. It's the emotional damage that has to do to a kid. And I think shame on the American government for what it's doing. And I do also believe the parents have some responsibility in this.
All right.
Maybe in the beginning, not so much, but now they have to know that it is not a welcoming environment in the United States right now for people who just suddenly show up and say, give me asylum. It's, there's a new sheriff in town and his name is Donald Trump. And he is using the immigrants to bastardize and to invoke fear. How many times did we hear the migrant invasion prior to the midterm elections? He and Fox News are doing everything they can to to demonize these people who some are not guilty of anything other than just being there. And this poor girl died.
Well, hopefully it'll get better before it gets worse, because the situation, you know, for these migrants, for these families seeking asylum, is certainly not getting any better in their own countries. If anything, you know, it's getting worse, to the point that they're even willing to risk being separated if it means that they're not, you know, murdered in their own homes. So it's a sad situation. Hopefully, you know, again, it's just shows you why being involved in politics, being involved in the voting is going to be that much more important over the next couple of years, because, you know, we are definitely not treating people the way that we should be. It's very sad. So we'll wrap it up on a somber note, I guess. But next week we will be back with our last episode of the year. And as we mentioned,
Ron and Brian predictions.
So play along with us next week. If you have any predictions for 2019, feel free to send them to us via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what have you. Again, go to our Facebook page and vote in our final Racist of the Year competition, Jimmy Taylor versus Dale Robertson. As we mentioned, Ron and Brian will donate $5 for every vote, and our friends at Baltica will match that $5 donation. So for every vote we get for that final matchup, $10 will be donated to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Brian, anything else before we wrap things up today?
I love you, and I look forward to this hour every week.
Same here. Love you, too. Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, and all that. And we'll see you guys next week.